Going back to the book of John and back to chapter 6. And last week, it was more prophecy. The Lord taking us into the millennial time. That's the thousand-year reign. That's when Jesus Christ will take the throne as God. We saw Jesus in that type. He left the multitude, went up on the mount with the disciples. That, again, given us a type and shadow of that millennial time when the 12 disciples will rule on 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. And we saw the word at that time, as it will in the millennial time, it'll go forth to every creature. See, that'll be the time of, as they call it, the great revival, the great commission. People are practicing that right now. That's the sad part about most of God's precious people. And they'll even admit, they'll say, well, I'm working for the kingdom. I'm serving the kingdom. You'll hear kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. We're not in the kingdom age. We're in the church age. We're in the age that Christ Jesus will have a bride. And I thank the Lord that it is so apparent. You know, Sunday morning, I thank God how the bridal message always breaks out here. We can be talking about lots of things, but it's all going to point to the fullness of His glory. It's always going to point to her descending from heaven, having the glory of God. Praise God. Yes. And we thank the Lord that it is because it all magnifies Him. That's the thing. It all magnifies Him. That bride is completely to the praise and the glory of His grace. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed to be a son of God. I'm not afraid or ashamed to be a friend of Christ, a brother. But He tells me He even wants more. He wants me to be His wife. And praise be to God, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ that tells me He wants me to marry Him. Amen? How far will we go? Praise God. But we saw that the word of God went forth at that time to every creature, which it will. But so sadly, there will be certain nations and ones that will have a feigned obedience, even though there will be 1,000 years of perfect peace. One still did not receive it. And those will be called the goat nations. You'll read about those in Matthew 25. And it says they're the lake of fire. And anything of a lie will be cast into it with those that have never received Christ. So, we come now to verse 40. And I appreciate all of the prophecy. And I appreciate all of the encouragement of the things that will come. But it's so beautiful right now. It all turns back. And not that that isn't about Jesus, don't get me wrong. But now, it's all about Him. It's so all about the Magnificent One. And from here on is going to be the glorious testimony that Christ, the phrases that we'll hear, drawn by the Father, eating His flesh, drinking His blood, those are all synonymous. That means they're the same thing as believing on Him. Thou art the Son of God. So praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and begin in verse 40. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, praise be to God, how crystal clear it is again and again and again. Think through John, how many times he tells us and encourages us that He is the way. That He is the truth, that He is the life, that in Him and believing in Him, you have eternal life, and that there is no other way. And not only that He is life in what we've just read, but He is also the resurrection and the life. And how gloriously simple the gospel is. Believe. Everything with the Word of God, anywhere you will ever get with God, comes one way, by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. All of these ones that were around Christ at this time, Matter of fact, it's never changed. All the ones that are around him, even at this time, they all want to merit something in themselves. They all want to feel good about somehow, some way, I did merit something in this. I achieved something of myself. Somehow I helped with my salvation. And that is the complete miss of what the gospel is. It's all by grace through faith. By grace through faith. And we thank the Lord. It's already been done. It's already finished. We just believe him in what he has already done. And praise God what is ours in that. But even though that was said, even though that is crystal clear, here we go, verses 41 and 42. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Amazing what they murmured at. They murmured that he was healing on the Sabbath. They were murmuring that people were made well, that were sick all of their lives, because this guy had to do it on the Sabbath. Isn't that amazing? And now here is the fulfillment of everything. Everything that they claim to lay hold of, meaning the Old Testament, these Jews. And they're insulted once again. They're horrified. They're murmuring. They're murmuring because he says here, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Now, these Jews murmuring, this is the exact same word that's even in the Hebrew. And matter of fact, obviously this is the Hebrew as well too, but this is the exact same word in the Old Testament of the murmuring Jews in the wilderness with Moses. And that murmuring of unbelief is the same murmuring there was then, and it's the same murmuring and unbelief that it is right now. And all it is complaining and grumbling because of my unbelief, because Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. See, they were completely blind, brothers and sisters, to his divine glory. Even though it says here in verse 42, they understood exactly what he was saying. They repeated it to him. They murmured because they said, because you say that you are the bread of life and that you have come down from heaven. There was no misunderstanding what Jesus said. The word is the word, and the word is true, and the word is very clear to the light. But yet, they rejected his claim. How can he say he came down out of heaven? And praise be to God, there is no excuse because he was right there before him, before all of them. And this is always man's response when they reject Christ. He's only a man. He's only a man. He's of Joseph, they say here. He's of Mary. How many times have you talked to people and they say, oh yeah, I believe Jesus existed. He was a great teacher, wonderful prophet, had some great sayings. Huh? Sure. Sure. But the Son of God? God in the flesh from heaven? No way. And every time that name which has been given under heaven among men whereby ye must be saved, that name above all other names, whenever that name is said, there strikes a chord in an unbeliever. And right here, it's called murmuring. And then that turns into gnashing of teeth. So, brothers and sisters, this isn't anything new. And what Jesus said here isn't anything new, because he said it in John 3:31. Go on over there and remember what he said so beautifully. He said, he that cometh from above is above all. He's speaking of himself. And he that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. See, this is more testimony, brothers and sisters, of the difference of the first man, Adam, that was of the earth, earthly. But the second man is the Lord from heaven. We have assurance of that in 1 Corinthians 15:47. He says, the first man is of the earth, earthy, that's Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And here he is. And here he is. Praise God. Now Jesus answers them, reading from the 43rd verse of John 6. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. See, he knows what they're thinking. He always knows what they're thinking. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all, notice that, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. That's the manna that was, they'd come out and gather. But you know what? They died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. How powerful, brothers and sisters. See, he makes it very known as he begins in this section that their murmuring makes it very evident that they have not come to him. They have not come to him. When you come to him, you come to believe. You're drawn of the Father. They weren't coming to him. And if that self-righteous heart doesn't change, they will never come to him, just as the bones of those that murmured that waxed in the desert. They stayed in the murmuring state. And what they ended up with was short of what was needed. And there is something so special here in verse 44. It says there that the Father must draw him to come to me. See, those brothers and sisters, with faith like a child, the Father draws them. There's such a beautiful, I love that we have the Father. He's our Abba Father. That's our dad. That's that faith, praise God, that's like a child, that we take him and we take from him and we're drawn to what the Father wants. And what the Father wants is all glory, all honor, all praise, all thanksgiving are to his Son. That's what honors the Father, is we honor his Son. Praise God. And how simple and beautiful that is. That is the plan of God. That's how the Father draws. He draws everything. This Word, everything about the Word is his Son. He draws everything to his Son. The plan of God is all in his Son. We've already read that in John. I have put everything in my Son. All power, all dominion, everything. And it is there. Praise God. We are thankful. But for salvation to take place, you think about it, in every one of our lives here, there had to be a humbling. Amen? There had to be a humbling for us to be saved. There had to be a realization in each one of our lives, some way, shape, or form, even if we were little itty-bitties, that there was something that we needed, that our current state had to change. We need Jesus. We need the Savior. And thank you, God, we must recognize our guilt. Amen? We must. We must recognize that I am lost without Jesus. That I need him to come live in me. Amen? As it says in Isaiah 1:6, from the soles of my feet to the top of my head, there is nothing sound. That means there is nothing good. Everything about me, there is none righteous, no, not one. All men have come short of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. And isn't it beautiful? As we've grown in the Lord, we find out that that humility even and only grows more and more. Amen? I mean, we have and it that faith like a child. But oh my, then you have that faith as mature sons, pleasing sons. That it's this faith in wisdom and understanding, the faith in divine love that just melts you. Praise God. You go from lowly to invisible. It's just Him. And ain't He beautiful? Praise the Lord. So, verse 45 tells us, and I love it, encouraging us, that all men are without excuse. That's the truth. Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what, He would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Amen. And He tells us here, and they shall be all taught of God. I thank the Lord that we know that that salvation, as Brother Paul said about his gospel in Colossians 1, it's been preached to every creature under heaven. Can you imagine that? Well, how can that be? God. It's there for all. It's there for us. It's there for everybody. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, they're all taught of God. Think about what it says in Romans 1:21. It says, when they knew God, that means speaking of man. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Isn't that amazing? See, let me tell you something. Man's not going to stand there and say, well, I didn't know God. Oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did. We've all been taught. Every life's been taught. There's God. And as we've heard that precious billboard out of Texas somewhere, at the end of the road, God. At the end of the road, God. And praise be to God. In a way, that's just our beginning. Be reminded. Praise the Lord. Passing through. Our day has not come yet. And that is the truth. You think about how men parade around about a day. Whether it's the Super Bowl win, a World Series win. Oh, my first billion, my 100th billion. Oh, we're probably going to get a trillionaire maybe if the Lord tarry long enough. People I know have said, well, you know, the streets of gold. Well, I'll tell you what. That gold they're using up there, we haven't even seen here. And know it. Because eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love Him. And aren't you thankful? I love Him because He first loved me. I get it. I get it. And I believe it. Praise the Lord. And the more you believe it, the more power of that love that just courses in your life. It doesn't matter. I believe the Word of God. And in due time, He'll exalt me. But I don't want to be exalted for me. I want to be exalted for Him. Amen. A vessel to the praise and the glory of His grace. And that happens right now. And then someday, to be on display for all to see. And I love this one. And to make them known that He has loved me. That's all. That's good for me. Now I know He's got all of that backing of heaven and all that He's prepared and the mansion that He's been working on for a long time. But all that there is, that He has loved me. Isn't that wonderful? See, and how could we not get that again? Go around here to these married couples. I think I can speak pretty freely to them. If you didn't have what you have, if it was all gone, Would you just look at each other and say, well, we shouldn't have got married? I know we kid and joke sometimes. Sisters, we keep those jokes here to ourselves while you're away. I'm just teasing you. Done it over and over and over. Amen? Amen. Praise God. It's love. It's all love. And thank the Lord how He increases that love in us. But see, brothers and sisters, as it says again there in Romans 1:21, when they knew God, that means man. When man knew God, and it's just about unbelieving man, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. As you read through Romans 1, He gives them over to it. He gives them over to that lie that they want to chase. And let me tell you something. When you want to chase a lie, it's endless. The lies are endless. And the depth of that sin, the depth of that mind that is just completely disobedient, that mind that is just completely defiant, that mind that's a reprobate mind, that mind that's corrupt and evil, that mind that wants to do everything against what nature would give itself to be, game on. And what a flood comes in. And we're beginning to see it now. Oh, we've seen it throughout history. God's reminded us. He's shown us civilizations that were very powerful that went after those things. And what happened to them? They're gone. You'd almost think that you'd be warned and shown that, and then you'd think of the greed of man. Well, at least we want this thing to keep running. But God will not be mocked. And what God has set up nature to be will not be mocked. It won't. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Know it. Let's go after God. Let's stand and withstand and having done all to stand. But brothers and sisters, just as these Jews, these men here, they were the same way. They knew, they saw, they heard. But we're not going to glorify Him as God. We're not going to believe any of that. I know His parents. I know Joseph and Mary. Yeah, He's just to them. He's just a man. They'll know and they'll hear someday. See, in order to be drawn to God, we must hear and attend. That's what that hearing means. We must learn. That means to increase. And praise be to God. We see the difference. Drawing nigh unto Him is to hear and attend, to learn and increase in the Word of God. You draw nigh unto Him, and He'll draw nigh unto you. And how important for us, brothers and sisters, to know the Word of God. There are so many spirits out there twisting things. Always have been. Twisting the Word. I'm talking about like the Gnostics did, and the mystics did, and the legalists did. And you know what? They're working at it harder today. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Coming after the people of God. And let me tell you something. You want to be a silly woman, you will be led away. No offense, ladies. But that's what the Bible tells us. When you're double-minded, when you give ear to any wind of doctrine, you'll be unsettled, you'll be unstable, you will be tossed to and fro. Do not compromise the truth. Don't do that. By the grace of God, let us lay hold of grace and stand in truth. It is absolutely okay that people fall away. It's just what happens. Man will not endure sound doctrine. Did Paul at the end, because he didn't have some great revival meeting at the prison, did he say, well, I guess I need to just give this up? It really didn't go over very well. We had a lot of crowds, but now I can't even get one to come over here to hear the Word of God. Think about what he brought forth. Think about how he preached. Think about you know, even the miracles and the testimonies that went forth and on and on and on in that time. And these ones knew this was the man that killed the Christians, that pursued them throughout the land. But God and the light that shone on him and changed him from death to life everlasting, that showed forth the precious grace that I'm taking the chief of sinner, and that's going to be the chosen vessel unto me. I took the most wicked to show that there isn't anything that can stop the love of God. That powerful testimony. And there wasn't a one that would come to hear him. All in Asia have forsaken me. And you know what broke forth? The joy book of the Bible. Can you imagine that? What kind of nut are you? Huh? You know what kind of nut he was? I just believe the word of God. I believe that his word is true. I'm not looking around me. I'm looking up. I'm looking up. And we look up. If we follow Paul as he followed Christ. Praise God. Praise God. And brothers and sisters, all of this devilish doctrine is out there and running today. And the evil of man is waxing worse and worse. But by the grace of God, know the word of God and stand in it. There isn't anything or anyone that can stand against the word of God. You can't. You can't. You don't argue with folks. People get confused. People get defiant. People, and I'm talking about God's precious people, they get downright ugly. The only way you'll ever get when you go away from the truth, listen, is ugly. You will. It's not pretty. It's not pretty when you muck around in the muck. It's not going to be a pretty thing. You don't fight with, well, I heard this, or God told me that, or I'm hearing this. Or, you know what, this is really what it says, or this is really what it is. You give the word of God, and you let that sit. And that's it. There's nothing else to argue. Do not waste your time. But know the word of God. And when you don't know the word of God, go search it out. How many times all of us, brothers and sisters, there would be somebody, and usually a legalist, that really knows how to twist the word of God. Get you into a portion of scripture, pull out one thing or another, and get you to think, oh my goodness, does it really say that? You better go back into that scripture by the grace of God with the Holy Ghost. Know who's speaking, know what's being spoken about, and to whom it is being spoken to. All of those things. This isn't an educational class. This is our life. This is our inheritance. Praise God. Somebody trying to take what I have that God has given to me? No. No. Perfect love, and this is perfect love. It casts out all fear. Amen. So we thank the Lord for this. Now, verse 46, going back in, reveals that no one has seen the Father but this precious man, the God-man that's speaking. I've seen him. Jesus has seen the Father. And why has Jesus seen the Father? Because he's very God. Because he's beginning. Jesus, the Word, was with God, and the Word was God. And again, not God the Father, but God the Son. Amen. Verse 47, so plain, so simple again. Believe on me, and receive everlasting life. How many times does he keep telling us that? You think we need to be reminded, huh? Praise God. We know where our life is. We know who is the life, and we thank God for that. So, it's a point that's made over and over. There is no life, there is no salvation, but in believing in Jesus, that He is the Son of God, that He is divine. See, seeing Him isn't good enough. See and believe. Amen? Know that. A lot of people say, oh yeah, I believe about Jesus. I believe He's an historical figure. I believe that Bible stuff. Do you believe in Him as your Savior? There's difference. I don't believe Him just as a picture on a wall. I believe He's the divine Son of God. And praise God, in that, I know and believe He lives in me. So thank the Lord. Now verse 48, how magnificent. He says, I am that bread of life. So I've told you about the bread of life. Now, I am that bread of life. So magnificent. And this is the first of the seven I ams in this gospel. He says here, I am the bread of life. He's going to say, I'm the light of the world. He's going to say, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. And this all-glorious I am points back so sweetly to when Moses was being dealt with. And he asks, who is this? I am that I am. As Moses said, well, when I go back there, then I am. Who do I say that you are? Who sent me? I am. It was done. Praise God. He got it, didn't he? Hallelujah. So do you see, isn't this so sweet? This same precious I am, Jehovah of the Old Testament. Here he is. I am. I am. See, it's never changed. Praise God. Verse 49. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. I love how direct Jesus is. This is just like it was. Yep, your fathers ate man in the wilderness. They're dead. Yep. Manna was a grand thing. It was incredible. It was a miracle, wasn't it? Precious. God fed them every day. But it was only, and it only meant a temporal need. It sustained them daily. But those fathers eventually died eating that bread. There was no power in that bread to preserve them after the grave. Just as there's no power in all of those ordinances and traditions and all of those things that people want to adhere to. The power was in the one that gave it, that prepared it. The bread. I am that bread. Praise God. So, I am Jesus. Here's what he says, verse 50. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And what bread is that? I am that bread of life. Speaking of himself. I am, in verse 51, the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We're going to read and discuss in a moment about that. But see, Jesus brought us, and Jesus is the only way for us to have peace with God. This is the peace offering. His body, his flesh, represents the peace offering. This is what we have here in the bread. Jesus, in his life that was given freely, God gave his Son. God so loved the world, he gave his Son. See, God so loved the world that he had to give the only thing that could make peace with him and the world which he loved. It had to be his Son. His Son is the peace offering. That bread, that body is the peace offering. Praise God. Very important. Very wonderful. So, in verse, he says, I am the bread of heaven. Eat of me and you will never die. You will have everlasting life. We read a couple weeks back, he said that to the lady at the well, you drink of me and you'll never thirst again. It's amazing how He gives it all, and you never need anything else. Once again, Christ, drawn by the Father, eating his flesh, drinking his blood, all the same thing, believing on him, eternal life. Brothers and sisters, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It's so wonderful how he keeps saying all the time, everlasting, eternal, shall never die. He never says, but I'll take it back if. But if you do this, you might not. It's forever. The gifts of God are without repentance. He gives, and it's not taken away. Hallelujah. I thank God. And this life, again, he gives forever, and it will not be taken away. Verse 52. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Unbelief always leaves you striving. Unbelief always leaves you confused. To the non-believer, this word is foolishness. But Jesus knows them. And here he goes. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Isn't it so beautiful how much he tells them again of what he's going to tell us again and again. Look at that verse 56. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Isn't that so beautiful? The life I live by the faith of the Son of God. Christ liveth in me. He's telling us this over and over and over. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. It's just so amazing. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. And he said unto them, does this offend you? What then if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Oh, what he's telling them. It is the sight that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. See, this is the Father's plan. This is all of the Father. He gave his Son. Praise God. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. But he knew it. He knew it. Now we'll close this out here. So hang on. Now, as we began, these Jews were very infuriated about, what do you mean? How can this man give his flesh to eat? Well, that's how it started, and then Jesus turned it up. Not only are you going to eat my flesh, you're going to drink my blood, if you really want me. Now, the reason this was just, it blew him out of the water, is because the Mosaic law, it forbade the drinking of blood and eating of raw meat. So this was just way over the top. This was it. We got to string him up right now. We were going to kill him before, but now we're going to just make sure there's no pieces left. They're going to go get him. But see, this just revealed their self-righteous ignorance. You see that? See, they wanted to go on with what they knew, their traditions, everything that made them feel good about themselves, instead of what all of that Old Testament and all of those wonderful, wonderful ordinances and all those things that they were told to do. That not one of those things cleansed them or healed them. It was what it all spoke of and pointed to, the blood. the blood, the beautiful blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. David knew it. Moses knew it. And Moses preached and wrote of it, didn't he? But see, that's why it was so infuriating, because they're self-righteous. Jesus wasn't speaking literally at all. Some of these great religions of today take this literally. And oh, what an abomination it is. It was once for all. Once for all. Now, he's speaking here of him, the Word, the bread from heaven, everlasting life. Feed upon me, drink me in. Here he is, the Word. And we feast by the grace of God upon him daily, our spiritual food. And how sweet this is. Again, we have the body to eat and the blood to drink. And I mentioned already about the body representing the peace offering. The peace offering. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son. And Jesus in that body and his flesh represents the peace offering that was given. But the blood that was poured out upon the ground, that was the atonement that was made. That was the washing away of the sin. And we thank God so sweetly that, again, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And with that blood, hallelujah, we're made whiter than the snow. So isn't this mighty eating and drinking is necessary to every life? This is a natural thing. Every life has to eat and drink. And every life is going to get hungry. Every life is going to get thirsty. And the Word, as we've read already, is spread out for every man to eat. Amen. Oh, yes. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. That table is there to eat. It's been prepared. But even though it's there, one must choose to eat. Amen? Amen. One must then eat and make that food their own. It becomes something that's very personal, obviously, as we take him as our personal Savior. That's the eating. But see, that's the rub. Most, when presented this wonderful food, the bread of life, refuse, reject. They desire not the food of eternal life. They would rather feast on the opposite, eternal death. That's all you would feast upon if you're not feasting upon his life. Eating is believing. Eating. And that's very important. That'll take you over to Hebrews 6 and answer it all for you right there. When it says that those that have tasted and yet turn away, all that's left for them is if they taste and turn away, they'll just burn. Yes, there is a lake of fire. Yep. We've read about that many times already in John. But see, but we are not of them that taste. As it says in Hebrews 6, we are the beloved of salvation that eat. There's a difference. See, everybody's tasted. Because when they knew that he was God, they glorified him not as God. And when you do not glorify him as God, you're not thankful, are you? See, the only thanks there is that he's God. Amen. Because when you know the plan of God, you're thankful. You are. Might not be joyful for the moment, but you're thankful. Oh, yeah. You may be in a big hurt, but you're thankful. Because we do not sorrow as them that have no hope. Thank you, Jesus. But you notice, brothers and sisters, here, as we close this up, the disciples, some of the disciples, they were offended. And why were they offended? And remember, this word disciples, it means learners. They were learning. All right? You can learn and learn and learn and learn. But if you don't attend, it profited you nothing. You can taste and spit. But if you never ate it, it profited you nothing. Know it. This speaks so much, brothers and sisters. We understand what this is about right here. This is speaking about sinners. But we can take this type even into our life as Christians. We need to feast, and we need to keep feeding, and we need to feed on strong meat, or we get weak. But yet we've seen with our brothers and sisters in Christ, times in our lives as well too, that table, oh my goodness, of strong meat, it's been presented. But what did you do? Did you just taste of it and, well, I don't really care for that. I'll just go out and be satisfied with the milk. Huh? See, many layers in this to be encouraged by. But these disciples, they couldn't turn from their works. They did not want salvation unless they had a part in achieving it. He had told them he is the bread that came down. You think about what he told them in just this little short portion of scripture. He's told them that he would die. He told them that his blood would be poured out. And in verse 62, he tells them, I'm going to ascend. But most still will not believe. Jesus Christ fulfilled every detail of the Old Testament and its prophecy of who the Messiah would be, who the Savior would be, that the final sacrifice that would come, he fulfilled it all. If you read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and it didn't say Isaiah or the 53rd chapter on there, you honestly would think that it was somewhere in the New Testament. And that's the truth. It is the truth. Go out and read it. Read it real slowly. You say, how in the world could you not see this is Jesus? Praise God. But they have eyes and they see not, and they have ears and they hear not. And though one rose from the grave, they will not believe. Yeah. So sad. Verse 66, it says there, for that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They did not believe the words of Moses. I love it. It's such a powerful book, this John. Remember in 546, Jesus said to him, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Matter of fact, everybody who wrote anything in here wrote of him. But he wanted to point out Moses because they really highly esteemed Moses. Because it was Moses that God delivered all them ordinances to that they really loved to parade around about. But they did not know the word of God. They were stuck in tradition, religion, choosing to be ignorant, choosing not to hear, choosing not to attend and respond to the word of God. But let that be a great testimony to us tonight, brothers and sisters. The only way we'll ever go on is by feasting continually on the word of God. As the Bible says, to encourage ourselves the much the more in these things. To be reminded in these things. Over and over, lest at any time we should let them slip. These are the things that we need to hear. And the last note I'd like to give you tonight is in verse 58, where it says that the fathers did eat the manna. And then it says, you eat, but if you eateth of the bread of life, that word eat and eateth are two different meanings. They're two even different words. When the fathers did eat the manna, that word eat means to consume one time. They just ate it, that was it. But when you eateth on the bread of life, he who eateth on the bread of life, that means to feed continually. That means a never-ending fellowship. Praise God. Little things here and there. And I'll tell you what, we keep feasting on Paul's gospel. You talk about the salvation with eternal glory that's waiting for you. It's coming. Might be even tonight, I don't know. But he said his reward's with him. And I know that much reward, if we'll take what was given tonight, was received. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.